This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information for how you can volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Poems by Gerard Manley Hopkins. Read by Linda Liu. Part 1B. Editor's Notes to Early Poems. And Poem 4. Early Poems. Two school prize poems exist. The date of the first, quote, "The Escorial," unquote, is Easter 60, which is before GMH was 16 years old. It is in Spenserian stanza. The imperfect copy in another hand has the first 15 stanzas, omitting the ninth, and the author has written on it his motto. Greek phrase, capital beta, alpha accented, tau, rho, alpha, si, omicron, sigma, space, delta, epsilon accented, space, pi, omicron, tau, apostrophe, space, alpha, accented, mu, rho, iota, accented, delta, alpha, sigma, space, aspirate, omega, sigma, space, tau, iota, sigma, space, epsilon, accented, rho, iota, accented, sigma, delta, omega, with an accompanying gloss to explain his allusions. The wholly lacking the Byronic flush looks as if influenced by the historical descriptions in, quote, Child Harold, unquote, and might provide a quotation for a tourist guide to Spain. The history seems competent, and the artistic knowledge precocious. Here, for a sample, is the seventh stanza. This was no classic temple ordered round with massy pillars of the Doric mood, broad-fluted, nor with shafts acanthus crowned, portrayed along the frieze with Titan's brood, that battled gods for heaven, brilliant-hued, with golden fillets and rich blazonry, wherein beneath a cornice horsemen rode with form divine, a fiery chivalry, triumph of airy grace, and perfect harmony. The second prize poem, quote, A Vision of Mermaids, unquote, is dated Xmas 62. The autograph of this, which is preserved, is headed by a very elaborate circular pen and ink drawing, 6 inches in diameter. A sunset sea piece with rocks and formal groups of mermaidens, 5 or 6 together, singing as they stand, apparently, half immersed in the shallows as described. Quote, but most in a half circle watch the sun, unquote, etc. This poem is in 143 lines of heroics. It betrays the influence of Keats, and when I introduced the author to the public in Miles's book, I quoted from it, thinking it useful to show that his difficult later style was not due to inability to excel in established forms. The poem is altogether above the standard of school prizes. I reprint the extract here. Soon, as when summer of his sister spring crushes and tears a rare and jeweling, and boasting, I have fairer things than these, plashes amidst the billowy apple trees his lusty hands, in gusts of scented wind, swirling out bloom till all the air is blind with rosy foam and pelting blossom and mist, of driving vermeil rain, and, as he lists, the dainty onyx coronals to flowers, a glorious wanton. All the wrecks and showers crowd down upon a stream, and jostling thick with bubbles bugle-eyed, struggle and stick on tangled shoals that bar the brook, a crowd of filmy globes and rosy floating clouds. So those mermaidens crowded to my rock. But most in a half circle watched the sun, and a sweet sadness dwelt on every one. I knew not why, but know that sadness dwells on mermaids, whether that they ring the knells of seamen whelmed in chasms of the mid-main, as poets sing, or that it is a pain to know the dust depths of the ponderous sea, the miles profound of solid green, and below to cold fishes, far from man, or what? I know the sadness, but the cause know not. Then they, thus ranged, gan make full plaintively a piteous siren's sweetness on the sea, without an instrument, or conch, or bell, or stretched chords tunable on turtle's shell, only with utterance of sweet breath they sung, in antique chant, and in an unknown tongue, now melting upward through the sloping scale, swelled the sweet strain to a melodious wail, now ringing clarion clear to whence it rose, slumbered at last in one sweet, deep, heartbroken close. 1862-1868. After the relics of his school poems, follow the poems written when an undergraduate at Oxford, of which there are four in this book. Poems 1, 2, 3, and 52, all dating about 1866. Of this period, some 10 or 12 autograph poems exist, the most successful being religious verses worked in Geo. Herbert's manner in these, I think, have been printed. There are 2 sonnets in Italian form and Shakespearean mood, refused by, quote, Cornhill Magazine, unquote. The rest are attempts at lyrical poems, mostly sentimental aspects of death. One of them, quote, Winter with a Gulf Stream, unquote, was published in, quote, Once a Week, unquote, and reprinted, at least in part, in some magazine. The autograph copy is dated August 1871, but GMH told me that he wrote it when he was at school, whence I guess that he altered it too much to allow of its early dating. The following is a specimen of his signature at this date. Picture of signature? Jard M. Hopkins, July 24th, 1866. 1868-1875. After these last mentioned poems, there is a gap of silence which may be accounted for in his own words, from a letter to R.W.D., October 5th, 78. Quote, What verses I'd written I burnt before I became a Jesuit, i.e., 1868, and resolved to write no more, as not belonging to my profession, unless it were by the wish of my superiors. So for 7 years I wrote nothing but 2 or 3 little presentation pieces, which occasion called for. But when in the winter of 75 the Deutschland was wrecked in the mouth of the Thames, and 5 Franciscan nuns, exiles from Germany by the Falk laws, aboard of her were drowned, I was affected by the account, and happening to say so to my rector, he said that he wished someone would write a poem on the subject. On this hint I set to work, and, though my hand was out at first, produced one. I had long had haunting my ear the echo of a new rhythm which now I realized on paper. I do not say the idea is altogether new, but no one has professedly used it and made it the principle throughout, that I know of. However, I had to mark the stresses, and a great many more oddnesses could not but dismay an editor's eye, so that when I offered it to our magazine, The Month, they dared not print it. Unquote. Of the 2 or 3 presentation pieces here mentioned, one is certainly the Marian verses, quote, Rosa Mystica, unquote, published in the, quote, The Irish Monthly, unquote, May 98, and again in Orby Shipley's, quote, Carmina Mariana, unquote, second series, page 183, the autograph exists. Another is supposed to be the, quote, Ad Mariam, unquote, printed in the, quote, Stonyhurst Magazine, unquote, February 94. This is in 5 stanzas of 8 lines, in direct and competent imitation of Swinburne. No autograph has been found. And unless Father Hopkins's views of poetic form had been provisionally deranged or suspended, the verses can hardly be attributed to him without some impeachment of his sincerity. And that being altogether above suspicion, I would not yield to the rather strong presumption which their technical skill supplies in favor of his authorship. It is true that the, quote, Rosa Mystica, unquote, is somewhat in the same light, lilting manner, but that was probably common to most of these festal verses, and, quote, Rosa Mystica, unquote, is not open to the positive objections of verbal criticism, which would reject the, quote, Ad Mariam, unquote. He never sent me any copy of either of these pieces, as he did of his severe Marian poems, poems 18 and 37, nor mentioned them as productions of his serious muse. I do not find that in either class of these attempts he met with any appreciation at the time. It was after the publication of Miles's book in 1894 that his co-religionists began to recognize his possible merits, and their enthusiasm has not perhaps been always wise. It is natural that they should, as some of them openly state they do, prefer the poems that I am rejecting to those which I print, but this edition was undertaken in response to a demand that, both in England and America, has gradually grown up from the genuinely poetic interest felt in the poems which I have gradually introduced to the public. That interest has been no doubt welcomed and accompanied by the applause of his particular religious associates, but since their purpose is alien to mine, I regret that I am unable to indulge it. Nor can I put aside the overruling objection that GMH would not have wished these little presentation pieces to be set among his more serious artistic work. I do not think they would please anyone who is likely to be pleased with his book. Poem 1, St. Dorothea, written when an exhibitioner at Balliol College. Contemporary autograph in capital A, and another almost identical in H, both undated. Text from capital A. This poem was afterwards expanded, shedding its relative pronouns, to 48 lines divided among three speakers, quote, an angel, the protonotary Theophilus, and a catechumen, unquote. The grace and charm of original lost. There is an autograph in capital A, and other copies exist. This was the first of the poems that I saw, and GMH wrote it out for me, open parentheses, in 1866. Question mark. Close parentheses. Poem 2. Heaven Haven. Contemporary autograph. On some page with last. In H. Text is from a slightly later autograph undated in capital A. The different copies vary. Poem 3. Habit of Perfection. Two autographs in capital A. The earlier dated January 18. 1866. The second, which is a good deal altered, is apparently of same date as text of number 2. Text follows this later version, published in Miles. Poem 4. Rack of the Deutschland. Text from capital B. Title from capital A. See description of capital B on page 94. In the, quote, the spirit of man, unquote. The original first stanza is given from capital A, and varies. Otherwise, capital B was not much corrected. Another transcript, now at St. Aloysius's College, Glasgow, was made by Reverend F. Bacon after capital A, but before the correction of capital B. This was collated for me by the Reverend Father Geoffrey Bliss, S.J., and gave one true reading. Its variants are distinguished by G in the notes to the poem. The labor spent on this great metrical experiment must have served to establish the poet's prosody, and perhaps his diction. Therefore, the poem stands logically as well as chronologically in the front of his book, like a great dragon folded in the gate to forbid all entrance, and confident in his strength from past success. This editor advises the reader to circumvent him, and attack him later in the rear, for he was himself shamefully worsted in a brave frontal assault, more easily perhaps because both subject and treatment were distasteful to him. A good method of approach is to read stanza 16 aloud to a chance company, To the metrist and rhythmist, the poem will be of interest from the first and throughout. Stanza 4, line 7. Father Bliss tells me that the Vol, V-O-E-L, is a mountain not far from St. Bona's College in North Wales, where the poem was written, and Dr. Henry Bradley, that Mole, M-O-E-L, is primarily an adjective meaning bald. It becomes a feminine substitute meaning bare hill, and preceded by the article Y becomes Vol, V-O-E-L, in modern Welsh, spelt F-O-E-L. This accounts for its being written without initial capital, the word being used generically, and the meaning obscured by roped is that the well is fed by the trickles of water within the flanks of the mountains. Both capital A and capital B read planks for flanks. G gives the correction. Stanza 11, line 5. Two of the required stresses are on we dream. Stanza 12, line 8. Reeve, R-E-E-V-E, see note on author's preface. Stanza 14, line 8. These, G has there, but the words between shock and these are probably parenthetical. Stanza 16, line 3. Landsmen may not observe the wrongness. See again poem 17, stanza 9, and poem 39, line 10. I would have corrected this if the euphony had not accidentally forbidden the simplest correction. Stanza 16, line 7. Foam fleece, followed by full stop in capital A and capital B, by a comma in G. Stanza 19, line 3. Hauling, H-A-W-L-I-N-G, thus spelt in all three. Stanza 21, line 2. G omits the. Stanza 26, lines 5 and 6. The semicolon is autographic correction in capital B. The stop at way is uncertain in capital A and capital B, is a comma in G. Stanza 29, line 3. Night, sick. Line 8. Two of the required stresses are on Tarpeian. Stanza 34, line 8. Shire. G has shore, but shire is doubtless right. It is a special favored landscape visited by the shower. End of part 1b. This recording is in the public domain.